We're back. Tom and Rob square off in the song challenge.
Break it up with yours, which isn't dance music, from what I understand.
Oh, man.
And then me last.
So remember, ladies and gents, the limitation to this project was the person that doesn't know music, can't sing, and cannot play any instruments. I like to pretend I can, but I definitely can't.
Spice World might not be as good as we remember.
Well, they see aliens, one of them grabs one of their tits.
Yes, yes, I've got that. I've got that here, where basically the alien goes up and grabs Scary Spice's tit.
More taste testing.
Oh, it smells wonderful.
It does smell so good.
Oh. God, I don't want to eat it. I just want to keep smelling it.
Well, I might have to pause it while we have a smell.
Hang on, get that Jerry Halliwell suit back on.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the variety show with me, Tom, and
me, Rob.
Yep, I'm just going to let you go now. We've got into this finally. We're back for another episode, and we've got a very, very odd episode. We've got the song challenge, where we're going to play each other our songs finally. And yep. As you said in the last episode, the only limitation is me. So yeah, that's me, lucky me. We are then going to be looking at Spice World the movie, because we fancy really going 90s hardcore on this episode. And then we've got a really big taste test with some weird and wonderful bits and pieces. From last intro, I told you about T and his nursery nightmares.
Yeah, yeah.
Fixed.
Ah, result.
In the period of 2 weeks, it's fixed. All we did was we just accepted that I need to work more outside of normal hours and just take him at the normal time. And you know what? That extra 15 minutes he was getting in bed, and that extra 15 minutes of having a little play in the morning, and not being left in a room, which I'm pretty sure was basically really young kids compared to him. Mm-hmm. And I know he's young, he's only little himself, but you know that at the age of 4, they do not like being called a baby still.
No.
And when they're going into a room which is going to be predominantly 2 or 3 babies until they can go up to their room on the early starters, I think that was just too much for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's back to absolute full swing. One little bit of relief out of everything, you know? Just you feel so much better for it. But if you've got nothing to share, let's get on to the song challenge.
Yay.
I've never been musical. I tried to write a song once, but it was problematic. Just because it rhymes doesn't stop you serving time. Anyway, Tom and Rob finally get to show you their works of, well, we'll call it art, but you know what I mean.
So, about 3 episodes ago, I did something stupid. I said, let's do a song challenge, because it's something we hadn't done. And we are called The Variety Show for a reason, so variety it was. So I said, let's create our own music. How the fuck did you find it?
I cursed your name on a couple of occasions at midnight at night when I was having time to do it.
And how many apps did you end up buying before you found one that you could use?
This has cost me a total of £10.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
And I didn't even use any of those bits of software because they were shit. I don't care what anyone says who's really into music producing. They were shit apps. I don't remember what they were called now. The one I settled on was actually a free one that I started with. I just needed to really just kind of get past the wall of tutorial kind of YouTube videos and really understanding what any of the fucking hell it was.
So the app that you chose in them, what was it called?
I think it's just LLMS or LMSS.
Fine. And is it one that it's just tracks that you layer music on top of? Did it already give you a load of samples or all the samples?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, crap.
No. You have... Well, there's samples, quote unquote, as in noises that you can make it make.
Yeah.
But you've got to do it.
Fine.
And you've got to pick the tempo, and then you've got to put it in layers, and you've got to do everything. You can't click one and put it in and then you've got 10 seconds of cool beat. You've got to make 10 seconds of cool fucking
gotcha,
Pete.
Gotcha. Okay, so the reason that I bring that up is because a long time ago...
At least from what I understood.
We chatted about this in the last episode, I'm pretty sure mm-hmm. we did. I did the work experience at Fast Track Software, who did Dance EJ 1 and 2. I think they did Dance EJ 3 as well. They were the publishing house. They didn't create it, they just published it in the UK.
Right.
And they were super popular pieces of software. Mm-hmm. I think even in their heyday, they ended up with a PS2 release.
Yeah, I knew the PS2 one.
Yeah. So they were super popular. And the original idea was, you know what, I'm going to do my song on that. And I thought, actually, is that a bit cheating? Because there's no real skill behind it. And to give you an idea, I'm going to play you now the song that I made on eBay. This isn't my EJ, not eBay. This isn't my actual song. Mm-hmm. This is something I set a timer of 5 minutes.
Okay.
This is in 5 minutes. This is what I managed to create just using EJ. So it gives you an idea of how, well, it's EJ 2 actually. Weird fact, they re-released EJ 2 Windows 10 compatible. It's $8.
Hmm.
And it's good fun.
I like how you said weird fact, so I couldn't call you out on you calling it a fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
no, I would have classified that as a fun fact. I got a little bit of enjoyment from that.
Well, we also then got a great message from Odd Trots. Go and follow him on everywhere that he is, and we'll put all that
Hello,
in the metadata. And he sent me one of his EJ songs from the
2000s. Oh, God. So we're about to get annihilated
what you're gonna
by
hear,
your 5-minute one.
What you're going to hear is my 5-minute one, which really isn't that good.
Okay.
And then you'll hear what you can really do with EJ. But my point still stands. EJ is one that gives you all of these samples, and basically, if you layer them up properly and you just look at, let's like Mega Dance 1, Mega Dance 2, Mega Dance 3, you can literally just put them in order and it will make some effect of a song.
Okay.
Okay, so let's play Tom EJ. So remember, 5 minutes. That's all I had for this.
It's loud.
It is very loud. But our listeners won't get that, so don't worry.
So I get to go deaf. This is so much better than what I made. Okay,
that is the end.
Well, that's
of
one
a 5 minute.
That's
EJ.
Fucking one, isn't it? Your 5 minute one. That's what I was thinking in my head that I couldn't get onto the fucking computer.
But that's why I didn't enter this one, because I think EJ's too much of a cheat. I could give you. In fact, you know what? I am buying you a copy of EJ for your own laptop.
Okay.
I am going to spend my $8 of my money on another license for you, so you can go away and have a play with it. It's stupidly addictive fun. I mean, I never used to get drunk or do things, but me and my friends used to do evenings where we would drink, and what we'd do is one person would go up and start the song, then mm-hmm. they'd come away, and the next person wasn't allowed to listen to anything. They had to like have a look at what music had already been put there and then go, well, let's build it up on like that. It never worked. It never worked. You had to listen to
that
it.
That sounds fun, though, to do that.
But yeah, so that gives you an idea. EJ, super, super simple. And depending on how much time you dedicate to it, depends on the sort of song you can get. So I'll just play a short bit of Odd Trot's one now, because his goes on for a considerably longer time than mine did. I mean, this is PlayStation 1 music era for a game.
It's like you're in the pause menu.
Yes, of a demo disc.
Yeah, yes, of a demo. You're waiting to pick which, spiral that thing round to pick which demo you're going to pick.
Right, I'm going to put a stop there because that wasn't even 1/8 of the song.
Yeah, that was good. Well done.
But that gives you an idea. EJ was super powerful if you played with it long enough. And I mean, you could then go into it and you could choose, record your own samples, you could remix samples, you could, there was a lot to do with it. So yeah. I will get your own copy because it spawned a load of games. You had Dance EJ 1, then you had Dance EJ 2, then you had Hip Hop EJ, Rave EJ, Techno EJ.
I'd love to know what actual released songs that have done really well were made in Dance EJ.
I should have you know what, I'll research that another time and we'll talk about it, because I wonder if there was ever any popular dance music, because my mate Richard made amazing songs with EJ. He used to have a collection of MP3s that he created from it that we all had on our old school MP3 players of the day, because they were that good. It's definitely of an era though. Definitely of an era.
Yeah, play yours.
Can you
Come
tell
on.
That I'm trying to drag this?
You're
on.
Next.
No,
hear
I'm not next. No, we are going.
No, we're going
we
on your list. Oh, you can't have my dance music after those two bits of dance music because you're going to be comparing. We need to break it up with yours, which isn't dance music, from what I understand.
Oh man!
And then me last.
So remember, ladies and gents, the limitation to this project was the person that doesn't know music, can't sing, and cannot play any instruments. I like to pretend I can, but I definitely can't. Mine is called Back in the 90s, brackets, Teletext and Panda Pops. So can you guess the content? Oh, fuck it. Here we go. No idea why it's right hand only.
It's always going to be in the right hand the whole time.
We had no mobiles, we had no text at all. Memorise numbers and reverse charge calls. Checking teletext for the cinema times. Turner the Worm and his pixelated lines. Cans of Coke for 33p. Panda Pops were a joy to me. Shell suit shining in the afternoon sun. Playing in the park till the street lights come. Back in the 90s, life was sweet.
I like this.
Argos catalogues at your feet.
Doshy rhyming,
Ed,
I'm afraid.
And Funhouse too. Grange Hill taught us what not to do. Game Gear glow on the way back home. Lara and Crash on the PlayStation throne. GoldenEye battles, slappers fight. Mario's jumps kept us up all night. Walker's bags with prizes inside. Smarties lost the blue ones nationwide. Blue Peter badges, Biker Grove cries. deck, nearly lost his mate to paintball eyes.
Best line in the song.
Back in the 90s, simple days. Terry's Pyramid, Saturday Haze. Live and Kicking, SMTV. Jurassic Park on the big screen, yes please. Green Day blasting out too loud. Oasis playing to the Britpop crowd. KFC on a Friday night. Pizza Hut and everything was all right. Back in the 90s, life was sweet. Argos catalogues at your feet. Ed the Duck and Funhouse too. Grange Hill taught us what not to do. From Maid Marian's jokes to Toy Story dreams. Schindler's List and the Lion King scenes. Independence Day and Matrix dreams. We didn't need the net. We just needed CRT beams. So raise a pound of pop and let's rewind to the 90s, the best of times. So raise a pound of pop and let's rewind to the 90s, the best of times.
Oh, well done. Well done.
That was so painful listening
back.
That
was so good. I'm well impressed.
I'd love to hear it sung by someone who could sing and play.
I'd love to hear it in stereo.
Yeah, well, luckily the users will.
Oh, okay. They will hear it
because I process it. I don't know why that's exported on the right-hand channel only. Okay. Cannot explain that.
Well, well done. That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Did it remind you of the 90s?
Well, you had lots of 90s references. Oh,
Schindler's List.
Exactly. When I think of the 90s, I instantly think of Schindler's List.
To be honest, actually, now whenever I think of Christmas, all I think of is Schindler's List. We have properly ruined that one for me.
I'm happy with that. I think that's great.
Well, we will see, because we'll explain what happens next.
Ours
obviously
could not be any more different.
Well, good. That was the idea. Are you ready for me to press play on...
Yeah, mine is called Hegemony.
And what was your thought process, darling? What made you make Hegemony?
Just listen to it. I hope you like bass.
Holy shit!
The final frontier.
He's laughing alive in there.
I'm loving it.
That's it.
Love it, mate. Absolute banger. I can't hear anything anymore.
Don't play that in my van.
You don't play that in anything that hasn't got Skull Crusher bass in force.
That sounds...
That's phenomenal. I love it, mate. That's so good. Honestly, that is so clever. I would love to be able to like do a piece of music and then use clips of something on top. Whenever I've tried, I can just never get it timed or it's the wrong voice clip. That is absolutely fucking brilliant.
I'm glad you liked it.
That's awesome, mate. Absolutely
I
awesome.
I wanted to add more on top near the end because it gets quite repetitive, I think. But I couldn't, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get in what was in my head on it. I just couldn't do it. So I could only get that and that was it. And I gave up as I'm leaving it.
Your song stayed the same song all the way through, whereas mine went through several different things.
I don't think we're going to be able to pick a winner because I think yours is better.
I don't think we can choose between ourselves anyway. So we've got two ways of doing this and we're going to do both.
Okay.
So when this is released on Monday, which you're listening to it from that point, I hope. If not, why not? We are going to release it on SoundCloud and it's going to be up to us. Create our own SoundCloud accounts. We're not just going to do.
I thought we were going to do the EP for the show. Those our two songs.
Fine.
On,
okay,
on
we'll do. I'll do it on the account then, and we'll put them both up, and we're going to look at SoundCloud downloads. What you need to do though is give me all the tags you want for your song.
Yep.
I'll think of mine and do mine, and then we are also uploading it to TikTok.
Oh no. Okay.
So you can do all your own TikTok specific tags. I will do my own 90s specific tags and we'll see what happens because TikTok recently has become a 5-tag limit. You can no longer do loads of tags. So actually, I think that should be quite good because obviously Star Trek's got quite a big following on TikTok, as does the 90s. So I think we should use those numbers and then the SoundCloud numbers and see what happens.
I'd have to also add it to a video. We need a video of us going on TikTok.
Oh, no.
An image or something.
Yeah, we'll put just some images up or something. But we'll work that one out together when we do that. But that's the plan. If you liked it, go to our social medias. You can get those all off Studio Channel 84's webpage, www.channel84.co.uk. Message us. Let us know what your favourites were. Drop us an email as well, because I had a lot of fun doing that. A lot of self-doubt.
Yeah.
A lot of self-doubt. But no, I had a lot of fun. Did you?
I had fun, but it was equally level with frustration at the same time.
Yeah. Cool. Right. You know what? Let's move on.
Oh my God, they took weeks to make those. Quickly, let's get on with the show. Oh, fuck off. Spice World, let me review this quickly for you. It's 1997. Girl power is popular. The Spice Girls make a movie. It's shit. The end. Oh, go on then. Over to you, Tom and Rob.
I've got to look at you. I've got to fucking look at you.
Spice World the movie. And Rob, why are you so upset? If people haven't seen a video that recently went out on TikTok, he'll know why Rob is laughing.
Oh, this is going to be a tough wank tonight.
That's what you say every time, darling. There's me here sat dressed as Jerry Halliwell in a Union Jack dress. He's not turned up as Baby Spice. I mean, we both love the Spice Girls, so we thought, proper 90s, let's watch the Spice World the movie. I've dedicated 20 minutes to this section.
I don't know if we might need more.
Well, I've got a quiz for you.
Oh,
10 good. Questions. I hope you paid attention to the film.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look, I certainly looked at this film with nostalgia-smeared glasses.
Well, you owned it on VHS in one of those tins,
I
didn't
did,
you?
Yeah.
You had the Baby Spice tin.
I did, and I loved it as a young man. Coming back to it as a grown man, there couldn't be anything more 90s than the Spice World movie.
It's just...
I'm so glad I wasn't a father in the 90s, having to have a child who was into this and being... Like, if I put me now, the way I am, then, with a child, looking at it, I'd think, Fuck me, I hate my life.
So, if you look at the trivia on IMDb, the numbers of actors and actresses that only did this film because they had children or nieces and nephews mm-hmm. that were huge Spice Girl fans and therefore got signed goodies.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it open to why this film exists. But, okay, Spice World, recorded in 1997, the Spice Girls had recently come to girl power at that point. They mm-hmm. they hadn't been around long at that point, if you think about it. But they had exploded across the 90s. Mm-hmm. Girl power was this huge fucking thing. And we got these five women from across the UK, early 20s to mid-20s. Jerry Halliwell was the oldest at 25 at the end of the film, I think it is, or just right. about to turn 25 anyway. And Bunsen had just turned 20 or 21, I think.
Really?
So, yeah, so they'd exploded onto the scene in the 90s. What do you do with that? Just like the Beatles back in the day, yeah, give them a movie.
Well, I feel like this was at kind of their, at their highest, but they stay there for a long time.
They did stay there for a long time. A very long time, to the point that Spice Girls music is still considered kind of peak girl band stuff, really.
Yeah, every time, apart from one instance where they sing a particular song, the rest of the songs are all in there, are all great, they're their songs, they're fun.
I think they basically recorded Spice World, the album, while they did the film. Right. So I think that's kind of where it was kind of kicking off to.
I would like them to rename the film, though.
Go on.
To Meatloaf and the Impossible Bus.
Yeah.
Because there's no fucking way that that room is inside that bus.
No. So
it's a TARDIS.
Let's be blunt about it. Did you watch it with Miranda?
No, she said absolutely point blank she had no intention of watching that, so I had to watch it on my own.
Well, fuck you, Miranda. I sat down with Jem and Kay. They mm-hmm. lasted 7.5 minutes before we turned it off. So I think you're more than welcome to say...
Kay, I was so desperate to find out what Kay thought
She got to 7.5 minutes and then said, I was worried to say something in case it's one of these films that were meant to be really good.
No.
It's like, no, what you genuinely were thinking there, babe, was it's shit.
No, you're absolutely right.
This is not good.
What exactly did she say? Because Jem must have seen it before, right?
No, Jem had never seen it.
Oh, okay.
She's like, this is atrocious. Does it actually get any better? What's the story? And I said, there isn't really a story to it, and it stays the same. In which then Kay said, oh, I just thought it was me. It's rubbish. As I know, this is worse than I remember it as well. So I watched it on that school trip to bloody Belgium on the school bus, and the whole bus was laughing. 15, 16-year-old kids laughing and loving it. It's like, oh, okay. Must be the old nostalgia glasses here, because going back and watching it, it wasn't as bad. By the way, go and listen to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show as Prime's War of the Worlds, which was absolutely atrocious. Mm. But this did have me a couple of minutes going, oh, there can't be much left of it. Oh, my God, we're not at an hour.
It was difficult to pay attention for a lot of it. I did...
As difficult as looking as me as Jerry Halliwell with my...
Yeah, I just can't look at your eyes at the moment. Do you think they felt like twats when they were making it?
I just think they were who they were.
Was there any self-awareness there at all?
Well, there was no acting, so there must have been something.
Look, we can't have a go at the Spice Girls for there being bad acting. They're not the actors.
No.
They're young and girls then, doing some singing. Okay, and
Richard E. Grant. What the fuck was going on with that man at that time?
I love Richard E. Grant.
Oh, I love him as well. But this role, he goes from being this manager to this seething hatred of the press, smashing his head against things because he's angry. It's like, what? What is going on with this role?
There's one true victim from this film. Do you know who it is?
Roger Moore?
Jules Holland. I've never seen a man so traumatised than any scene you see Jules Holland in. He must be a guy, a hootenanny man, a fantastic musician, incredible.
Yep.
forced to be in a room with these fucking idiots. And you could just see his soul leave his body, his dead eyes, as he's in the background of every scene he's in. You could just see that he does not want to be there.
Let me highlight to those of you that haven't had the wonder of watching Spice World the movie, which, by the way...
Are you about to summarise its plot?
No.
How the fuck are you going to do that?
It's not fucking possible. I'll come to that in a minute. I said I'd ordered Rob a DVD. What I meant was I'd put a bid in on eBay. The DVDs are out of press. You cannot buy a DVD of this.
Mm-hmm.
It sold in the end for £112.
Get lost.
So Spice Girl fans are still buying that at stupid amounts of money. No, what I was going to say is here is a list of the famous people in it. Kevin Allen, Michael Barrymore, we'll come back to that. Richard Briers, Simon Chandler, Elvis Costello, Alan Cumming, The Dream Boys, David Pham, Jason Fleming, Neil Fox, Stephen Fry, Bob Geldof, Luella Gideon, Guy Gowan, Richard E. Grant, Jules Holland, Bob Hoskins, Barry Humphries, Elton John, Craig Kelly, Hugh Laurie, Meatloaf, Marion McLaughlin, Kevin McNally, Roger Moore, Naoko Mori, Neil Malachy, Richard O'Brien, Stephen, I mean, I could keep going. Jonathan Ross, Claire Rushbrook, Jennifer Saunders. There is just...
There was famous people everywhere.
Every scene just had a different famous person in there. There was Norm from fucking Cheers in it, for God's sake.
Yeah. He had a fairly big role in it.
Yeah, which made no sense. He's discussing about making the Spice Girls film in the Spice Girls film.
Yeah, out of nowhere, halfway through that plot line coming. The guy from Crystal Maze.
Richard O'Brien is the bad guy.
He was great too.
Oh, Richard O'Brien is brilliant in whatever he is in. He is the legend. But why is he in this?
He's
really?
The evil photographer, wasn't he? Who could
Damien the photographer, tainting himself.
He was so, like, okay, so the funny characters in this, him and whatever the bad guy was, Dermot Mc... whatever his fucking name was.
Was he meant to be Max Clifford or whoever owned...
Yeah, he's meant to be,
like,
Max Clifford. Because it's called something
stuff.
McClifford, wasn't he?
Yes.
He might have been called Max McClifford.
No, it was Max Maxford. Something... McMaxford.
Yeah.
Well, I've got it written down,
so
for God's
actor,
sake.
So that actor, the Australian... Well, I think he's...
He was Dame Edna.
Now. Yeah, that was Dame Edna. He was great as that bad guy. I actually enjoyed the scenes that he was in. And when they're hiring the photographer and he's like, how good is he? And he's like, here's a picture of you doing this and this. And then here's a picture of you behind the bike says, when you were 12 years old. And he's like, before you even knew that you were going to hire me. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah, can I just point out then, that's one of the first points of this film really being disturbing, saying, yeah, he was behind a bike shed at the age of 12 with girls. Little bit premature on the age there, don't you think?
Oh, what, being kissing girls behind a bike shed at 12?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a joke, isn't it?
I know it's a joke, but geez, this okay, so Spice Girls were family friendly. Unlike things like, oh God, what were the ones that manufactured in the early 2000s? Girls Aloud.
Girls Aloud, yeah.
Manufactured, happy family TV, love it. Then you got to their gigs and it was tight leather and whips, basically. So lots of what's going on. Then Sugar Babes did it and all sorts of girl bands did it, yeah? Mm. The Spice Girls were fairly family friendly. And okay, we all know what Zig Zigar was. We're talking about giving a blowjob and so on. And various other songs like... there was one that's clearly about sex and I honestly can't think of it off the top of my head. There are moments in this film that are just dodgy. So there's a bit where Richard E. Grant is in the bar and his female accomplice who's helping manage the Spice Girls come along and she says, oh, well, we could always just go off for the night, get it on, basically, and ruin our working relationship and then have problems afterwards. And Richard E. Grant just goes, yeah, I'm up for that. And then literally the next scene...
They do that, yeah.
Then she's like, is everything okay after last night? Yeah, whatever. And he just lays into her and off she goes. It's like... We are basically just saying in this film, just get drunk and have sex with your co-workers. It's fine. Yeah, it'll fuck everything up, but go for it.
Well, they see aliens, one of them grabs one of their tits.
Yes, I've got that. I have got that here, where basically the alien goes up and grabs Scary Spice's tit. It's like, seriously? I know it's the 90s and consent was something a bit odd.
That was a great scene for Posh, because she wasn't wearing a bra.
Oh, talking about the bloody newspaper as well. Uh-huh. It's like, we've got pictures of this. We've got pictures of this. We've got pictures of the Teletubbies taking a poo.
Mm-hmm.
What? I am highly disturbed.
One of the biggest shocks in the film. They brought 6 coffees for £1.50.
£1.50, 6 coffees.
I texted you that, didn't I? It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Okay, right. So you said, am I going to summarise this film? No, I am not. Mm. Because it's not possible. The film starts off with, they have a big gig at the Albert Hall. That is the main story. And then it's from then, between, it's like 1 week, I think it is, they have to do a film shoot for one of their songs.
A friend's having a baby.
A friend's having a baby. They've got to take 2 kids for like a Spice Girls day and
nearly drown in the River
them.
Thames. They have flashbacks.
They have flashbacks. They have an alien encounter while pissing in bushes. Yes, they actually go for a piss in the bush.
They do a gig for a nonce.
They...
The Gary Glitter scene.
Ah, well, yeah, we'll come
I've
back to that
I've got a lot
one.
Of information about yeah, that because I went on a bit of a wiki.
I bet you do. Yes, yes. Come on. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, and that's the scene that starts off with men coming out with clearly incredibly large penises in their shorts for a kids' film, and then we just turn it into arseless chaps.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, that's really, really more appropriate,
isn't it? And then they have
a
Barrymore.
Then we have Barrymore teaching them to dance. Then they take a pregnant woman to the Ministry of Sound because they think that's a good idea to do with a person who's overdue for a baby anyway.
Yep.
Then they deliver the baby and then they end up doing the Albert Hall, which is a really weird ending to the film. And then we get fake behind the scenes, which are just as painful as the whole movie.
Oh, and they
movie.
Wake up Malcolm from his coma.
Yes, 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 yes. Along with one of them saying to Jerry, why don't
get
you flash your tits out?
Get your tits out. I changed what I wrote in my notes. My notes now say, I will laugh if Malcolm gets a boner. Now, what I originally wrote was, I want Malcolm to get a boner.
Nods watch.
Instantly deleted it in my own notes as I can't have that in my notes.
So, okay, look.
Malcolm's little boner.
Oh dear. And then we've got the whole bloody scene of them. Oh, I am getting a bit broody. And then there's just basically, you've got Jerry Halliwell. He's a slag drinking wine whilst basically pregnant. Emma Bunton's popped out babies. You've got Scary Spice turning up in full African garments.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they make her dress up in African garments in that scene, and then when they're doing the whole photo scene where Victoria's in a bra, quite nice actually, not going to complain, and then they put her in bloody African dress as a tribal warrior at one point. It's like, are you really typecasting her at this
they
point?
They hit everyone with massive stereotypes.
Oh, hell yeah. And then actually that flashback bit when Sporty comes on, I swear that's the outfit Kathy Burke wears.
Yeah. You're saying
it's Harry Enfield. It looks the same. So it's like she looks like.
I'm surprised Kathy Burke didn't appear in this. To be perfectly fair.
Well, to be fair, I'm very surprised. Or any of that lot. To be fair,
they had more sense.
Yeah.
Well, they would have been at the height of their popularity too, though. Harry Enfield and Chums probably around 97 time was pretty. They would have still been pretty big guys.
True.
I don't know the exact dates, but
there's a comment in there that there's not enough nookie in the film.
What?
Yep. And the opening 30 seconds of the film, well, actually 60 seconds, let's say, Richard E. Grant goes up to one of the photographers and says, no upskirt shots. And then one of the Spice Girls is basically going, what do you mean? So, as in going, I can take it if they want. It's like, really, guys? Come on.
Yeah, he has a thing in his hands, doesn't he? It's like it's specifically for... And then that poor extra gets a full-on face shot. So now everyone's going to think he's a dirty fucker.
Yeah. Now, my favourite little bit of trivia here. That tit flash scene, or the supposed, why don't you flash your tits at him scene, was because I didn't know this. Before Jerry Halliwell was a Spice Girl, she was a model who also did nude modelling.
Oh, was she?
Topless modelling. Which would also explain why in that first scene in the bus, she's reading The Sun.
Was she on page 3?
I don't know if she was page 3 or not, but it's kind of like, you did topless modelling, so we're going to make you wear kind of...
Yeah. Do you want to know my trivia?
Go on,
It's about Gary Glitter.
Oh, wait. Should we do the quiz first, then do your trivia? There might be a question about this.
Okay, I've got some stuff.
Okay, right, look. 10
quiz,
questions.
Quiz,
you don't
quiz,
need
quiz.
To write anything down.
All right.
Nonce Watch. Which disgraced Shit, what have I actually written?
Hey, come on, Jerry.
Which disgraced star was meant to have a 4-minute cameo?
Yeah, Glitter.
What year was Spice World released?
December. No, December 97.
Well done. How many kids had Emma Bunton pushed out already in the dream scene?
Five?
Six.
Ooh.
Where was the main gig going to be?
Albert Hall.
Okay.
Royal Albert Hall.
What was the name of the bus driver?
Away, it's Meatloaf.
No, no, no. He had a name.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Begins with a D.
Dog?
Dennis. What was the name of the paper?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I did notice. I didn't write it down. Oh, no, I'm annoyed by
it's
that one.
The Daily Event.
Yeah, Daily Event.
What's the name of their pregnant friend?
I don't fucking know.
Nicola, do you have any idea how hard it was to write these questions for such a shit film? Who had taken Mel B's boots in the first bus scene?
Oh, Jerry had taken it. The first scene, Jerry took it, but later on, Posh takes them.
Oh, well done. Mm. What symbol was on their manager's ring? Do you see it close up a fair few times?
Oh, I don't think I actually even noticed.
Okay, I'll give you an option. It's
the Spice Girls
a
logo.
Suit from a pack of cards.
Oh, is it spade?
It is a spade. And what were the three animals Roger Moore held?
Oh, his piglet was one of them.
A piglet, yes.
I only really realised a piglet each time, because he fed the piglet one time.
A cat to start with, then it was a rabbit, and then it's a piglet.
Okay, because he fed the piglet by a bottle, which was quite funny.
Yeah, which, by the way, yeah, Roger Moore turned up in it. He's kind of the overall managing party of the record label, I'm guessing. And he only speaks in metaphor.
When the speeding lemon hits the wall, Christmas for the crows.
It's Star Trek. It's that episode where Picard's on the planet and he's trying to communicate with the other one.
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about. And that's basically Roger Moore's role in this film. Mm-hmm. And it's atrocious. Even that didn't say
that. Yeah,
anyway,
pretty shit.
Noncy stuff. Because I was expecting Top of the Pops and Jimmy Savile to suddenly pop up.
Well, you've kind of already said it. So there was meant to... So they do Come On, Come... Well, they do that song, basically, and then loads
you
of lads
come
out. You want
to be in my game.
Yeah. So that was meant to be longer. There was a 4-minute scene cut. Now, the reason being, this film released in December 1997.
Literally.
He was arrested in November 1997. Yeah. So they had it all recorded, all cut, ready to go. And then 1 month before release, probably they were finished, probably already burning DVD, not within VHS originally. They had to cut it.
Yeah, they had
and
to cut it out.
I've went on YouTube. I found some clip. I found the bits that they cut. Like behind the scenes footage of him there and all the girls like loving
him. I wonder
him.
If it ended up in the sticker album, because there's a couple of scenes that were cut with like Pepsi and Pizza Hut stuff. And
I
those stickers are in the sticker album.
I bet it is. But yeah, there was some really behind the scenes bit and Glitter is in full form there. The girls are loving him. There's an interview with Mel C talking about it. All clearly done before anything came out.
Yeah. And obviously another thing that was cut, when they drive past Buckingham Palace, they go, oh, look, there's William, there's the Queen, oh, wave, oh. They also say, and then Jerry shouts, oh, all right, Charlie, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The very next words from that scene were, hi, Diana.
Oh, really?
She had just died as well.
Oh, dear.
So that was also cut. They had a lot of cutting to do for this film.
Bit. But I think, though, they could have cut the entire bit of the film. They could have made this film 0 minutes long. No, the whole Gary Glitter bit could have completely gone. It added nothing.
No, I mean, the whole...
Added nothing.
I'm sorry, but the whole point of the film, it was shockingly bad. And you could have done so much with them at their top of the bloody pot where they were.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done so. You could have just had full on just an hour and a half film of them going up against a manufactured boy band because there's another record label who doesn't believe in girl power. And that would have been a far more enjoyable hour and a half.
You're just saying K-pop demon hunters, pretty much.
Well, this is it, isn't it? And yet you should have the other record label be Satan, which, again, would tie in better than most of the bloody things that we've got in this film.
I'm a bit sad that I've watched it now, because now I've seen it.
You're jaded.
I really don't like it. And I look back, now I've lost my nostalgia for it. Now I'm just like, what a shit fucking film.
Oh, it's awful. And by the way, it wasn't meant to be Meatloaf.
Who is it meant to be?
They drafted him in.
Was it
last
meant to be
minute.
Jimmy Savile?
No, it was meant to be Frank Bruno.
Oh.
Who lost his shit when the security wouldn't let his children in to get signatures with the girls, so he stormed off set and never went back.
Oh.
So, okay.
Well, fine. But yeah, I mean, that's a good fuck you to them, isn't it?
Final points then.
I'm with Bruno on that one. I mean, I love Meatloaf, but yeah. I'm on Bruno's team for that. Let the fucking kids in, you.
Final points I'm going to say about this film, which I found a little bit shocking. You realise how little Victoria had to do in any of the songs.
Yep, we spoke about this, yeah.
And then the sheer number of times that even in the film, when they're not ripping the piss out of her, the film cuts her dialogue so sharply. It's like,
yeah.
I might have carried on talking, but obviously I haven't got a chance because you've all turned the cameras off and gone home.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to her. When they're doing the army scene, and they're all in the khaki stuff. In
oh,
numbers.
Yes, yes.
She's Jerry, in full-on fucking heels.
And Jerry falls in Michael Barry's swimming pool.
Yeah.
Can I just... that genuinely happens in the film, yeah. Okay? I'm not saying anything, but it happened. Well. I can't... we're going to have to... I'm going to have to beep that now, you prick.
Told you, didn't I? Shit with a capital S. These two are getting ready to ingest large quantities of food again. Join them for a big taste test that definitely won't overrun, I promise.
And now it's the taste test, and we have quite a lot to do here. So let me read to you what we have. We have Walkers Masala Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
They're crisps, if you didn't know what Walkers were. Walkers Sticky Teriyaki.
Mm-hmm.
We have Calbee Pizza with melty cheese on them.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Which,
that's interesting.
That's going to be an interesting one. We have Aldi Passion Fruit Jaffa Cakes.
Okay, okay. There's a lot of stuff here.
Double Choc Brownie Aero Drops.
Okay.
I'm going to put it down here now. These are going to be rubbish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Club Layer.
Right.
So if you like a lot of chocolate
on your biscuit,
join our club. Well, this is Club Layers, so it's like a bigger club, and it looks like it's got more orange goo in it. So we've got that. But what I'm more interested by is Gummy Yum Surprise by a company called Zuru. And this is the Transformers one. And this is basically a gummy egg version of Kinder Surprise.
Okay.
Which I'm quite excited about because I feel like Kinder is... Well, they're shit now.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Chocolate's nice. The prize is shit.
I love the chocolate, but the prize is crap. We'll leave that till last.
We're leaving that till last, are we? Okay. So we're changing up things. Me and Rob never get notes. Simon, as much of a garage legend as he is, and the fact that he gave us all of the scores for however many episodes, we never did anything with that. Mm. So we are changing up a little bit. We're still going to score between 2 and 6. That's just the done thing for our show. You're not getting away from that. But we did think of a way of visualising it. Now, you will have all seen this. Those charts that you get in the newspaper and magazines that show top tier, then all the different coloured boxes going from the top to the bottom with top tier and then the worst at the bottom. They normally do it with crisps in the daily rags that you normally get around this time of year. Well, we're going to have that up on the webpage showing all the snacks we've done. And basically 6 will be top tier. 2 will be down at the bottom, and I'll work that all out later. So that's the plan, and we'll have a visualizer for it so you can then see it on screen. Where would you like to start?
I'm really intrigued by those cheesy pizza crisps.
We're going with cheesy pizza crisps first, are we?
I see that pack there. I'm really interested.
Okay, I will...
You just open them and take you first.
No, no, I've thrown them to you. Too late. You're too slow.
It's just going to get double throwed now.
Oh, well, that's fine. Cheese pizza crisps.
I adore pizza.
Now, I think they're either Japanese or Chinese, because they have got Japanese or Chinese writing on the front. I can't tell you if it's simplified Japanese, Chinese or Japanese.
I can't open them.
You can't open them, so we've already got a problem here.
You have to send it back, because
we're triple throwing
this. I need a man.
You need Jerry Halliwell.
I need a man in my life. I cannot open that. Watch him do it instantly, look. He just does it.
They're quite a virulent colour. So I'm going to take three of them. Now, they allegedly, the picture on the front of it shows a cheese pizza with lumps of tomato. And then it has, in big writing, melty cheese, as if there's melty cheese. Oh, I think there actually is. I'm looking at it. That does actually look like there is kind of melted pizza cheese.
Yeah, I'm just seeing a piece here.
On the crisp itself.
It does.
So I didn't take a huff, annoyingly. Don't throw them back. That's just... Ooh, okay. They smell interesting. They certainly smell cheesy. The problem is they also smell a bit like a flat that belongs to two men in university that don't particularly wash things very well.
Hmm. I can taste oregano.
Yes.
Which you can see the oregano on the crisp.
Talking of the crisp, beautiful crisp. Really, really nice. It's got a good crispiness to it. It's firm, but not too hard, so it doesn't... It's not too hard a bite.
Yeah, they're ruffled as well, aren't they?
Mm, they're ruffled, yep, so they hold the flavour.
Also nice.
Really nice. The thing is, I don't think I'm getting cheese... Oh, I am kind of getting cheese pizza.
I'm getting a lot of oregano.
I'm getting roast chicken flavoured crisps.
And I'm getting roast chicken as well. Same. Which is not unpleasant.
No, it's delicious. It's one of my favourite crisp flavours.
It's just not cheese pizza, though, is it? And if we have to be judging this on if it's cheese pizza, well as whether we like it, but also is it doing what it's meant
really
to do?
I really like them. My God, are they salty? Yeah. They are definitely packed with flavour. I'm not going to lie there. There is a slight hint. If you close your eyes, you could think, you know what, eating that. Yeah, I am eating one of those cheap kind of Iceland Lidl pizzas.
Yeah, yeah.
Slightly soggy ones, really crisp outs. I can picture that. And then comes in the roast chicken flavoured crisp again.
Yeah, I wonder why it tastes like roast chicken.
I think it's the herbs. It must be the same sort of herbs they use in the roast chicken that they use in that, for whatever reason. I like them. They're not pizza, though. That's really complicating my score here.
I'm the same. I'm like, I want to give it a five.
I want to give it a five because it was yummy. I'd eat that whole pack.
But it doesn't taste like a pizza. So it's got to go down to a four. In my books, it's a 4-point chicken pizza.
Yeah, it's a 4-point roast chicken pizza. I'm going to have to go with you on that one. Which, well, that sticks it right bang in the middle of our new chart
which
when I do it.
Isn't bad.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
I would buy that. I'd see that in the shop now, I know what it is, and I'd buy that and I'd enjoy it. I'd have the whole pack probably in one go and be happy with it. But we shouldn't say pizza, it's to say chicken.
Yeah.
Or chicken pizza. Chicken pizza.
Yeah, that would be preferential. Absolutely.
Yeah, because then you can be like, okay, well, it's just an overpowering of chicken.
Yes.
Right, you pick.
Let's go for some chocolate. Let's go for the Club Orange.
Okay.
Right, so I've got it open. It does look very cool.
Wow.
It's kind of the orange goo, which looks like goo in the picture, is actually more like a fondant.
Oh, it smells wonderful.
It does smell so good.
Oh, well, I don't want to eat it. I just want to keep smelling it.
Well, I might have to pause it while we have a smell.
Hang on, get that Jerry Halliwell suit back on.
Ding, 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 ding. Mm. We have a sixer.
That is incredible.
Now,
I brought my white pants.
Oh, that is. It was like a timeout. Do you remember timeouts?
Yeah, yeah.
That lovely way. So it's not biscuit, it's wafer now. The club layer is wafer. Mm. And then you've got that orange kind of fondant flavour on top, which was just the right thickness. It wasn't too much. No way was it too little, though. And then that classic club milk chocolate on the outside was still there. And it still tastes, except for the wafer, that straight away took me back to... Junior school, pet lunch, club.
Uh-huh.
And thank God Mum always got me the orange or the mint ones. And no one, and I'm insane, no one ever had the plain or the raisin.
No.
Because they were wrong. But
that is soft yet wafer crunchy, orangey, soft. Oh, just an absolute experience. It smells amazing, tastes amazing. What a wonderful chocolate bar. The fact that we kept it paused just so we could just have our own little mini orgasms.
We actually ate half of each, which not even like we normally do. We'll just have a little nibble and we'll take it from there. No, we scoffed the whole goddamn thing.
The bar
thing.
Is gone. I wish it was two bars.
Mm. I do,
that
mate.
Is a 6-point I'll join your club any day.
Do you want to be in my club?
Don't taint it.
6-point, do you want to be in my club? Okay, your choice. What would you like next?
Now crisps again.
Yep, we've got masala or teriyaki.
Teriyaki.
Okay, I'm going to throw the teriyaki over to him. Will he be able to open these crisps?
No, I've got hand problems at the moment.
Oh, he's opened them, so I'm going to...
Wow.
Wow. Explain to the listeners what you can see.
The size of these crisps.
Whoa.
Are incredible. Who makes these?
These are Walkers.
Walkers make these. Well, they've obviously changed who's in charge of deciding how many and how big crisps are.
It's GMO potatoes, mate.
Because they are incredibly big.
Super potato has been turned into crisps, finally.
Not sure I like the smell. I'm just going to pass this back over.
Yeah, no, go on then. I see what you mean. The whole bloody pack is absolutely giant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's... Got the teriyaki smell.
Yep.
I guess we'll give it a taste. I'm going to let you go first. What did you think?
Unsure. I kind of don't think I know what teriyaki tastes like now. Because whilst I didn't find them unpleasant, I also didn't think they were very nice.
I liked them.
Did you?
I quite like that flavour. I like teriyaki.
Mm.
It's up there. It tastes of teriyaki. It's got a lovely umami to it, to use a word. The flavour's strong, but not overpowering. It's typical Walker's crisps, which you can't really go wrong with. Let's face it, ready salted is still a top tier crisp by Walker's just because of how they cook their crisps.
Mm-hmm.
And these are cooked in the same way. I really liked it. It's not top tier. Don't get me wrong. It's not a 6. It's a... It's a high 4 for me, nearly a 5.
Right.
So it's not bad. It's just, I don't think I could enjoy a packet this size of just those. They need to be with something. It feels very much like I am just eating teriyaki sauce.
Yeah.
And it feels like I need something else for the meal at this point.
That's crisps in a bowl at a party.
Yes, it is. You're right.
And they're quite well sized for that too. They're big.
Mm.
You could use that and for dip.
Yeah,
Then dip in something. They're big enough. For me, I'm afraid it doesn't get to a 4. It's a high 3.
No, fair enough.
It's really not enough going on. I didn't think, whilst I can see they're doing something with the flavour, I obviously just don't know what teriyaki tastes like.
Fair enough.
I can't place what that was. So mine is a 3-point, what exactly is teriyaki?
And mine is 4-point, Oriental, okay, hang on, that was shit.
Oriental orgasm, you thought you were going to say?
Yeah, go on then, a 4-point oriental orgasm, very nice. Okay, what would you like next? Do you want to go for sweet again? So do you want to go with the aero drops?
Yeah, let's get the aero drops out of the way. So what these are,
they're not drops, they're called aero melts, and they're labelled as double choc brownie flavour, bakery inspired. Now, really... 15 pieces is one serving, allegedly. So actually, you get quite a few for once because it's full of air bubbles. Yeah. My point is, though, double choc brownie, are we just basically getting a milk chocolate and a white chocolate counter or whatever you want to call these little disc things that they are? I don't think these are going to be anything more than white and brown chocolate. They're not going to be anything...
Oh, they're just separate ones.
Yeah, they're just separate ones. So let me just hand this over to you so you can have a couple. A very strong smell coming off it.
That's boring. I thought they were going to be like a mix of chocolate in
the... And, the smell of them, there is a slight brownie smell to them, so... What was that?
The fucking chef from the South Park over there.
I'm just going to press pause and I'm going to taste these.
I went ahead and said it off air. I don't like them.
I don't like them.
Well, my throat hurts. I only had two white ones.
You didn't try brown ones?
No, I had two browns and two whites. So what I did, I had a brown one first.
Right.
I stuck one in the brown.
We're talking about poo at this point.
I stuck one in the white. And then I did both together.
We didn't have a pink, sorry.
And then I did both together. And I don't like them at all. The brown is a very weak brown. I like Aero chocolate, but it didn't taste like Aero chocolate. I don't know where the brownie is.
The point with Aero chocolate is it's chunky chunks that are full of air bubbles. They're too thin, so you don't get that bubbly texture.
Yeah,
it's far more lacking than a chocolate bar.
It just had a horrible texture to me, and the white didn't taste like nice white chocolate. The brown didn't taste like nice brown chocolate. No, I've now got a sore throat. I didn't like it.
They tasted like cheap brownies. There was a brownie flavour to them, but it was very much cheap and cheerful school dinner sort, not the sort of brownie that you get at Simmons the Bakers, for those of you that live in Hertfordshire. For those of you that live elsewhere, it's better than Greg's, but what can I say? It's not what you're expecting for brownie. You either stick with milk or white chocolate, or you don't. As soon as you start saying this is brownie, there is high expectations,
yeah,
and that did not meet them. I'm going to be harsh, actually. Fuck you, Nestle. I think it's Nestle that does Aero. Sorry if it isn't. I'm giving that a 2 point.
It's Nestle.
Yeah. 2 point.
Dangerous. Mine is 2 in the white, 1 in the brown. I'm not happy with that at all. Well, actually, to me, to be really not happy would be 2 in the brown and 1 in the white.
2 in your brown.
2 in my brown. Next.
Oh, dear. Right, what are we having?
We're going to have crisps. Let's have the crisps.
The masala chicken. Mm-hmm. I'll open these ones.
Yeah, please.
You've had problems today. Let's give it a hug. Oh, they're big as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, they look like they're the same kind of range.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, they look good. I like the orange powder on them.
The huff is there. Let me pass these over to Rob. There you go, sir.
Right, I'm a masala man. I love masala.
Who doesn't love a masala? He's giving it the huff.
Oh, that's lovely.
It has got that... it's not overpowering. I was half expecting it to be massively, massively boom, straight in your face, but it's not. Right, let me get these in my mouth. The only problem I have with Walkers is they get stuck in my teeth.
Sorry.
Really like those, and I'm looking at your face, and I don't think you do.
I do. The taste isn't powerful enough.
Oh, I don't know. The one I got was... the first one I ate, because they are big enough just to eat one crisp at a time.
Wasn't
that flavourful. I was like, oh no, it's roast chicken time again. And then the second one I had, oh, it was wonderful. Masala, a little bit of a spice hit. Oh,
I don't
delicious.
Think it tastes like roast. I don't think it tastes like roast chicken. There's definitely a masala taste. It is. I just wish it was stronger. So I really like that. I mean, I just had about 3 handfuls of it.
I did see handfuls.
That they are very, very nice, Chris. Very nice. I just wish the taste was stronger.
Can I just say as well, Walkers, this is a good way to go. I like these. These are better than that shit KFC you tried to pass off.
Yeah, but also I'd like to say that I'm not particularly impressed with the price tag on these bags.
Oh, no. £1.35 for a big bag.
A 70-gram bag. Really, this is what their normal packets of crisps should be.
Yes, I agree.
They're 35p, if only they were still costing much.
I should have had a spit in the song, really, about Walker's crisps costing 20p. Yeah,
when they used to have crisps in the bag. You know, you can't complain that they haven't put the crisps in there, which is a general complaint about Walkers.
Yeah, you do feel like you're getting a good amount of crisps in there, especially the size of them when you open it. Absolutely agree with that.
Price tag is not worth it.
No.
But I do think they're very nice. I just slightly wish they did taste stronger. This is a 5 point, very, very nice.
I'm going to go with 5 point. Yeah, 5 point, just great.
I'm going to do you a favour. I'm going to fold them over so they don't go horrible so you can enjoy them.
Well, no, I think you should take them home and try them tomorrow because I have a feeling you're being not unfair on the flavour front. I just think you're being hit by the Aero chocolate and having to drink.
They won't make it home. I'll eat them all the way home. I do like them, TJ.
I just think the flavour is there. I think it's you've just been hit by Aero and Club.
The same, yeah.
And I think there's too much going on, whereas I've not had as many as you've had. I've tried to limit myself to two little crisps each time.
No, I can't do that.
And the masala flavour on the second one I had was absolutely phenomenal. Really, really. It was non-mistakable as to what it was meant to be. Mm. So no, I'm really pleased with that. But that brings us...
We've got Jaffa Cake.
Oh my God, yeah, we've got Jaffa Cakes as well.
You can't
Shit.
Say you put it behind yourself.
Good point. Right, so yeah, passion fruit Jaffa Cakes from Aldi.
I think we're going to like these. I've got good hopes. I like passion fruit.
I don't know, possibly. I've just thrown one to him. I've got one. Oh, it's got a passion fruit smell to it, doesn't it? So let's nom it down. Well, they can stay in the box.
Yeah, that was odd. So the
It was texture, almost liquid.
The texture on the jelly was actually like jelly.
Oh.
Well, it's normally a lot thicker than that.
Yeah, it's normally got a bite to it, and it's... normally very pleasant, but that is, I would say, the passion fruit's overpowering.
Mm.
I would query, and I'll look at the box while I read this, I would suggest that, obviously, it's going to be fake flavour. I can't imagine that that has got any real passion fruit in it.
It's quite disappointing.
Passion fruit juice from concentrate, it does.
Mm.
I found it overpowering and a little too fruity. I guess I like my stuff fake.
Yeah, it tastes like passion fruit and a Jaffa, but actually I don't think it went well together.
It doesn't.
And the texture of that jelly didn't seem right. It seemed, like you said, it seemed wet. That's not what I want in a Jaffa cake.
No, you want dry. Well, not dry, but you want firm.
And yeah, he wants it to go in dry and firm. You know, we don't like
Stop
it wet.
It.
We don't like it wet. We like it dry and firm around here on the variety show.
Yeah,
I'm
not blown away by that. For me, that is a 2-point bring me back an orange Jaffa cake.
Oh, I'm not going to go as low as a 2.
No, I am.
I'm at 3 point leave it to set. That's
right.
Where I am. 3 point leave it to set. I've tasted worse things than those.
I'm sure you have, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
We can't behave ourselves today.
We really can't. You saw me dressed up as sexy Jerry Halliwell, and it's all coming out.
Sexy is an interesting adjective. Next.
Okay, so we are looking at the final thing, the Zuru Gummy Yum Surprise. And I've seen these everywhere. It is basically an egg, and it's got a big plastic egg in the middle with a toy in it, and you have some gummy wrapped around the outside of it.
Okay. How are we going to eat this?
Well, I'm going to peel open the cartridge.
Get a good smell of that when it opens.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's a foil top to a plastic kind of just egg holder, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, peel it open and... Oh, well, it just smells of Haribo. And you tip it out and then...
Oh,
there you go.
Look at it.
It's a beautiful
it's got sugar
Rainbow
all over
egg.
It. Sugar, so yeah, it's going to be soury.
It's sugar all over it. But look,
get a photo of that,
are
TJ,
you ready?
Because that is incredible.
Oh, okay, hang on a moment. That's just
a work of art.
Okay, hang on.
Mind the background, too.
You are always in the background.
Throw some gang signs.
No, don't be Jaden Smith or whichever the Smiths is doing that at the moment. The only issue I see with this is...
I don't follow what the Smiths are doing.
You've got to do this to peel it.
Oh,
so you've got to peel the bit of gum off that you want. So I've taken the top...
Oh, Jesus.
Just damaged the mic stand with a gummy egg.
I want the yellow one. I'm taking the yellow one.
Oh, peel the yellow one off then. Why I nearly said peel the orange one when you want the yellow.
I want the yellow one. Okay, well, peel off the green.
Mm-hmm. So it's got a really nice fruity flavour, the gum.
I can't get it off. I'm just going to take a whole load of it off.
It's not overly powerful. It's just like the gummy sweets you get from Haribo. Kind of just a... If you think about a Tangfastic without the sour.
Yeah. This is difficult to get. Look how much trouble I'm having.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. I can imagine a lot of kids will be getting pissed off with this. Because they
you try that.
No, I can see how hard it is. But you're trying to get to the prize and you've got to peel off all these strips first. So that's problematic.
No, you would do.
Probably.
That's what all the kids would do. They'll just use their teeth. We're doing it because we're trying to be adults.
So it kind of looks like if any of you have ever bought those Velcro strips you can stick on the wall that you can then peel off by pulling the bottom and it's stretching and it comes away from the wall without leaving you with paint damage.
Oh, fuck, it's difficult.
It is very difficult, but he's munching away still. He's still going for
it. I'm trying to get the toy out.
He wants to get the toy out. Okay.
Right, yeah, I've had that. You have the rest.
Right, well, it's a Transformers toy. You should be able to crack the egg open at this point. I don't know how the egg opens. I don't know if it opens lengthways or horizontal. Just, oh, look at that. He's opened it.
We're in. My hands are completely covered in sugar.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that it was sugar.
So there's a weird...
There's a condom in the
There's
egg.
Something in that.
Is there?
So I've got a little bag with something inside it. I've got a little bit of plastic and instructions. Now, we don't read the instructions.
Right, so I'm going to press pause so we don't sit here in silence as Rob builds this. In a matter of 60 seconds, he has built Megatron as a tank.
Oh, I like that. That's very sweet.
That is very cool. It actually looks quite detailed.
Give that to your little boy. You'll have fun with that.
Or choke to death. One of the two. But I really like that. I take it he can't actually turn into a Transformer?
Nope, that's it.
He is just the tank version, but...
I'm pretty sure it's Megatron.
It does look really good. And, oh, you can see all the other ones you can get as well. And then it looks like there's quite a few there. I'm guessing there's Optimus, Bumblebee.
So by the look of it, you have the car version and then you have a Transformer version.
Ah.
That definitely cannot transform into that. There's no head.
No, that's fine. So you're right. So obviously expanding their ability to sell these eggs for more characters is a good way of doing it.
Bumblebee, you've got Optimus, you've got Megatron, and then I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is there. And then there's a golden version of Bumblebee.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm really impressed with that. That has pissed all over those Kinder Eggs we tested recently.
Yeah, that's what should be in Kinder Eggs now. This.
So a kid would go away with that.
I would have fucking loved that.
And they would drive it around in the mud and the dust, yep. And they would have fun with that. It's not got moving wheels, don't get me wrong, but kids don't need wheels. You would just power that through. Exactly, as Rob drives it around his leg. I'm pretty blown away with that. The only thing that's the down point is getting the gum off the gummy bit off the egg itself.
The turret moves.
Oh, look at that.
Right, I'm going to give this two scores.
Oh, you're going to do...
Toy score.
Toy score.
Is a 5-point... Toytastic.
Nice.
Not quite six. They could still be better. I'm just saying, you know, could have had moving tracks. This toy could transform into Optimus Prime or Megatron. That would have been fucking incredible, but I get it. Sweet-wise, I think they were pretty average at best sweet.
They were just gummy, and you can't... It's very hard. I don't know how you could make a gummy sweet exceptional. I mean, Haribo managed it with Tangfastics by making them sour.
Yeah.
That is top tier gummy sweet. Great. You can't argue that.
But what really lets this down is the method at which that you have to try and eat it. Very difficult if you're trying to, like, we were trying to share it. You'd have to just get your mouth around it and chew on the bits. So
wet, sticky egg mouth.
That's going to put it down to a 3. It can't be a 2 because it does taste nice. I'll give it that. But it is a low 3 because of the actual way you have to eat it.
So I'm going to go with...
It's a 3-point, I need another hand.
Okay, I'm going to go with 5-point toyrific for the terrible pun that we can go with for the toy. I'd go for a 4-point, it's a pain in the ass, but I like it.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think actually it deserves a bit more than that, but that will still set us within the middle of those areas anyway, which I think is fair for that egg.
Toodaloo. See ya, bye, fuck off. It's time for my bath and bi-weekly chipmunk visit.
And that, ladies and gents, is the end of that. Hopefully we'll think of another terrible 90s film to look at in a couple of months or so. We're not going to do that sort of thing regularly. If you want that sort of thing regularly, head over to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show. Big, 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 humongous, big, super sexy, fun time. Love you. Big kisses, hugs, if you don't like that, we'll social distance from you and we won't touch you or follow you around.
Says you.
Thanks for Kofi. So, Karen, patron saint of the podcast, who helped us really kick things off. James from Super A to Z. And then Odd Trots, thank you all three of you for your Kofi donations to us.
Thank you very much.
We genuinely don't know what to say. We genuinely didn't expect. I don't even know why we set it up in the first place. I think we got ahead of ourselves a bit, but that money is just unbelievably valuable to us. And that goes towards our joint account where we can use it to buy things. So honestly, it means more than you will ever know. So thank you very much.
Yeah, these taste tests are your fault, essentially.
Yeah, okay. The blame's on you guys. Otherwise, if you like the show, head over to channel84.co.uk where you can find out more about us. You can also find our scores for things. You can find out all our social media there by going to channel84.co.uk and clicking on Talk to Us, choose our show, and then all our social media links are there. You can also email me on tj@thevarietyshow.co.uk, rob@untitledscifishow.co.uk, or if you'd like to email both of us, podcasts@channel84.co.uk. You can also find on channel84.co.uk the other podcasts that we work with, including The Untitled Sci-Fi Show with Rob and myself. You can also find Super A to Z with James. You can find Lightly Used with Karen and Adam. And you can also find Who Takes the Socks Off with Simon and Ross. All their information, again, is on channel84.co.uk. Otherwise, thank you very much. I'm not going to tell you what next week is, but we have already got it planned, and I can assure you it's going to be good fun. So until then, I will see you and goodbye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.